Please turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. And Abraham said to his young man, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Revelation chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which are sent into all the earth. And he came and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain, and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth." And I saw and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And their number was 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and those that are upon the sea and all things in them heard I saying, to him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb blessing and honor and glory and might to the ages of ages." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast given us the right, the privilege to worship Thee as Thy children. Oh, we do praise and thank Thee that Thou hast revealed Thy Son to us, that in Him and through Him we can be true worshipers. And Father, we do desire at this very moment that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou would teach us what worship is. Oh, that we may be true worshipers of the Heavenly Father. Lord, we do desire to be such, and we ask Thee to teach us and to lead us into this truth through Thy Holy Spirit. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we began to fellowship on this very basic but very profound subject of worship. We realized that our Lord Jesus talked with this Samaritan woman on this matter of worship. I think this shows us that worship is not a theological matter. Worship is a spiritual experience. Everyone whose conscience has been awakened by the Spirit of God will turn to this matter of worship. and everyone who is redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb is qualified to be a worshiper, a true worshiper of the Father. Now, after we have shared last Lord's Day, saying that the hour is coming, and now is, we today worship the Father in spirit and truth. I feel probably we still need to lay some groundwork, and that is, we still need to have a clearer understanding of what worship really is. You know, it is very strange that in the Bible, in the Word of God, you'll rarely have any definition. The Bible does not define things as we want it to be. And the reason is because the truth that is in the Bible is so inclusive that it is impossible to define. Because when you try to define a thing, in a sense, you confine it. Now, worship is something that is not defined nowhere in the Bible. We find it is everywhere in the Word of God. And yet it is never defined. And I think probably this is one reason why we have such a vague idea of what worship is. You know, with modern man, we like to see things defined in concrete terms. Then we can understand, we can grasp it. But in spiritual things, you'll find it is beyond our human comprehension, because it is spiritual. So I think the best thing to understand worship is not trying to define it, but trying to find in the Bible how worship is illustrated. In other words, you do not have definition of worship in the Bible, but you have plenty of examples of worship. And I think we learn by examples more than by definition. So if the Lord enables us, we'll go through the whole Bible in a very rapid way and try to find the examples of how people worship God. What is worship? How do we worship? On what occasion, at what time do we worship? And what kind of worship really touches God's heart? We often said the first mentioning of a word in the Bible gives somewhat of a clue. Now, the word worship in the Old Testament, of course, it is Hebrew. The Hebrew word worship, where is it first mentioned in the Old Testament? Well, that's the verse that we read at the beginning. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 5. There you'll find Abraham told the young man, "Stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and then we'll return." This is the first mentioning of the word worship in the Bible. And that word in Hebrews means bow self down. To bow oneself low and down. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that before Abraham worshiped God, God was not worshiped at all. No doubt. When Abel offered the lamb on the altar, he worshiped God. No doubt, Noah, after he came out of the ark and built that altar, and the sweet smelling flavor went up to God, he was worshiping God. But in Genesis chapter 22 verse 5, that is the first time that word is mentioned. Why? Because in this incident, it reveals to us the very essence of worship. Abraham had a long life with God. And through his long experience with God, he knew God in a very deep way. God had revealed himself to Abraham in a way that he had never done to anybody before him. But then, God tested Abraham. God said, Abraham, offer your son Isaac to me, your only son. Without hesitation, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He took his son Isaac, and he traveled 3 days' journey to Mount Moriah. God gave him enough time to think things over. But his heart was fixed upon God. He never looked back. When they arrived at the foot of the mount, he told the young man to stay behind. And that was very wise. Because he was going to do something that, humanly speaking, it was abhorrible. So he asked the young man to stay behind. And what was he going to do yonder? He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. How did Abraham worship God? He worshiped God by offering his only begotten son, Isaac. He did not hold back anything from God. In other words, he considered God as worthy of his very best. God was worthy not only of his sheep, of his cattle, but God was worthy even of his only begotten son, in whom was all his hope. He considered God as more worthy than his son. He did not hold back anything from God. And of course we know the story. He bound his son, and when he took up his knife, he heard a voice. Abraham. He looked around and saw the ram caught in the thistle. So he offered that ram instead of his son. But God was so pleased with him. And God bless him. Now, brothers and sisters, this is worship. You know, in Old English, the word worship is spelled worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. And that is very true. Why? Because worship comes out of worship. Because you consider him as worthy. Therefore, you worship him. But here you'll find worship is not a matter of word. It is an act. Now, oftentimes we think of worship always in terms of words. That is, when we sing, when we pray, or when we praise, we are worshiping God. Now, of course, when we worship, we do sing, we do pray, and we do praise Him. These are all expressions of worship. But worship is more than just words. Worship must be an act. So here you'll find Abraham worshiped God through an action. And that action proves that God is worthy, more worthy than anything else. And he is willing to give up everything to honor God, to glorify God. That is worship. And you know, the result of worship is blessing. As Abraham worshiped God with such devotion, God bless him with such a blessing that even all the nations shall be blessed through his seed. Now, this is the first mentioning of worship in the Bible. The second mentioning is in chapter 24 of Genesis. And there you'll find Abraham send his steward to go to his native land to get a wife for his son Isaac. So here you'll find in chapter 24 of Genesis, the steward traveled to Paddan Aram, and as he arrived there, how he prayed. He stood by a well and he prayed, "O God of Abraham, my master, if you will prosper me and send me to the home of my master's relative, that I may get a wife for my master's son." And as he was finishing his prayer, we all know the story. Rebekah came. And how she tested Rebekah. And when he discovered that this was of his master's family, kindred, immediately you'll find in chapter 24, verse 26, at the side of the well, he worshiped God. He bowed down and worshiped God, that God has prospered him, has answered his prayer, has blessed his master, and led him to his master's kindred. And you know, he went into their home. He related the whole story. He told them how God has prospered his way. And you know how the thing was settled. And when the thing was settled, again, he worshiped God. Worship is because God is above all. Worship is because God has provided and has prospered. You know, oftentimes we receive something from God. God has given us grace. And yet, we just take what He has given and walk away. We never return to give thanks to Him. We forget everything. We are ungrateful. And that hurts the heart of God. What is worship? Worship is when you receive something from Him, when He answers your prayer, when He has made provision for you, when He has blessed you,
you do not forget to return and give thanks to Him. So tell Him how you appreciate what He has done. And that is worship. Well, chronologically speaking, probably we should mention Job, because Job actually lived in the time of the patriarchs. And here you'll find a man, Job. He was perfect. Fear God and upright. And God used him to challenge Satan. God said, have you seen my servant Job? There is no one more righteous than he. He feared God, abstained from evil. And you remember how Satan said, is there not a reason why Job fear you? Because you put a hedge around him. You bless him. You protect him. Suppose you take off the hedge and let me attack him and take away all the things that you have given to him, and then we'll see. God said, all right, go ahead. But don't touch his body. And Satan attacked Job with attack upon attack. Took away not only all his cattle, all his herds, but even took away all his children. And these news came in one day, one after another. And after Job heard all these calamities, what did he do? He rose up. He rent his garment. He shaved his head. He bowed down and worshiped God. He said, God has given. God has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is worship. Worship is not only something you do when God has blessed you and has given something to you and has provided for you. Worship is when everything is taken from you. And yet, you realize God has the right to take it away. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we think it is easier to worship God when He gives. Even though, oftentimes, we are not that grateful. But when He begins to take away things from us, can we worship? Will we not rather murmur and sometimes rebel against Him? But if we can worship God only when He gives, when He blesses, and we cannot worship Him when He takes things away, He afflicts us. Brothers and sisters, we do not know what worship is. Why? Because worship does not depend upon things. Worship depends upon God Himself. If worship is dependent upon things, then when God gives you things, you worship. Now, whom do you worship? You do not worship God. You worship the things that you receive. But when God takes away things and you still can worship, you see Him. You see God as God. You see Him as having every right. He has the right to give. He has the right to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is worship. And we remember towards the end of the book of Job, when God revealed himself to Job as the Creator, Job realized. He said, I repent in dust and ashes. I realize you are God. You can do anything. There is no one who can say, why do you do it? You are God. Brothers and sisters, the very acknowledgement of God as God and the very realization that you are but dust and ashes, that is worship. Worship is seeing God as God and seeing yourself as dust of the earth. Well, Jacob worshiped. Even though that word, worship, about Jacob was used in the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. In Hebrews. In Hebrews we are told, in Hebrews chapter 11, that Jacob worshipped on the top of his staff. Before Jacob died, he worshipped God, leaning on the top of his staff. You know, this staff of Jacob was something. Why? Because if you go back to Genesis, you remember what he said? He said, with a staff, I crossed the river. In other words, when he left home, he had nothing but a staff. And with this staff, he crossed the river. This staff was his very livelihood. This staff was his cleverness. With this staff, he maneuvered through 20 years, staying with his uncle Laban. With this staff, he tried to build up his own house. He leaned upon this staff for his very living. That was his cleverness, his strength, symbol of his life. But dear brothers and sisters, God has transformed that staff through much dealing with that man. As God dealt with him again and again and again until it is consummated at the fall of Jacob's thigh was touched and he was crippled. That staff became a symbol of the cross. Instead of being a sign of his own cleverness, his own strength, that staff, after the Lord has done so much in that life, had become a symbol of the cross. The cross had worked so much in that life that from now on he leaned upon that staff, that cross. He cannot live without the cross. And even when he was dying, he leaned on the top of that staff and worshiped God. Brothers and sisters, who knows worship? Not someone who lives in the energy of his own flesh. If you live your life by the strength of your flesh, you worship yourself. You do not know how to worship God. But it is only those who have known the cross When the cross works deep into your life, you begin to realize how weak you are. And you begin to realize how strong God is. And it is through the working of the cross in your life that you are able to lean on the top of the staff and worship. When the cross works in our lives, it is painful. It reveals the worst in you. It exposes you completely. But if you allow the cross to perfect its work in you, you will become a true worshiper of God. You begin to realize that it is the cross that gives you Christ. It is the cross that gives you the knowledge of God. And you will lean upon the cross and worship God. That's Jacob. Hannah worship God. We know that how God shut up her womb. How he was embarrassed. How he was provoked. How he cried before God. How he wept. How she cannot eat. She cannot drink. How she made a vow to God. Oh God, if only you will give me a son, I will give him back to you as a free will offering. And Eli noticed that she was, her lips were moving. And Eli, being old, dim in his eyes, he could only see very vaguely. And he thought, Hannah must be drunk. What a judge. But when Hannah said, no, I'm not that kind of woman. I'm a woman afflicted. I am crying before the Lord. And Eli said, God heard you. And immediately you find, she went back, ate and drank, worshiped God, and returned home. What is worship? Worship comes through faith. Hannah prayed, asked God for a son, even before he received the son. She believed in God. And because of her faith in God, she could worship. Now, oftentimes, we have to wait until our prayer is answered. Then we worship God. Before the prayer is answered, we are waiting to see if God is dependable. If he is to be worshipped. We have to wait until the thing is accomplished, and then we worship. But dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith, you can worship even before the answer comes. Why? Because you know he has answered. The answer is on the way. So why not worship him first? That will speed the answer. David. Oh, David is a worshiper. In 2 Samuel, David sinned. And because David sinned, the disciplining hand of God was upon him. God smote the child that was born out of that sin. David lay on the floor, fasting, hoping that God would look upon his affliction and be merciful to the child. But the child died. And after the child died, the servants dared not to tell him. Because they say, while the child was living, look, King David wouldn't eat and wouldn't drink. Now, if he knew that the child was dead, what would happen to him? But while they were whispering, David noticed. And David said, was the child dead? Yes. He rose up. He washed himself. He put on his clothes. He went and worshiped God. Isn't that strange? God did not answer his prayer. And yet he worshiped God. Why? Because he knew God. He prayed, hoping that God will be merciful. But when he realized that discipline is necessary, he accepted it. Because he accepted the discipline of God, he worshiped God. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we cannot accept discipline. Therefore, we will not worship. How can you kiss the hand that strikes you? But if you know that hand, whose hand it is, you can even worship the one whose hand smites you. Brothers and sisters, the reason why there is so little worship today is because we know so little of discipline. When we are disciplined, we rebel. We refuse to accept it. We murmur. But if we see the love behind discipline, we can worship as David did. He rose up and worship God. As you read on, you'll find again the discipline continued in his house. Even his own son Absalom rebelled against him. His son Absalom was able to stir up the whole nation, as it were, to rebel against David. David had to flee for his life. And as David was fleeing out of Jerusalem, as he climbed up to the summit of the mount, what did the Bible say? He worshiped God. He worshiped God when he was fleeing for his life. He worshiped God when his own son wanted his life. He worshiped God when he seemed to have lost everything, his nation. And yet he went to the summit. As he climbed to the summit, he worshiped God. David knew worship. David was a true worshiper of God. And we all know that David is a sweet singer of Israel. If you read the Psalms, that collection of 150 Psalms, most of them were written by David. And as you read these Psalms, dear brothers and sisters, you'll find a worshiping spirit in these Psalms. Oh, how he worshiped God at all occasions. He worshiped God when he was in trouble. He worshiped God when he was in prosperity. Not only he himself will worship God, but he called the heavens and earth to join with him to worship God. Why? Because he considered God as worthy. David worshiped God. Now, of course, we can go on and on. And you find in the Old Testament many, many examples of worship. And you find they worship God under all kinds of circumstances. Even though under the law, as we mentioned before, in the dispensation of the law, the Jews worshiped in Jerusalem, in the temple, three times a year. The Samaritans, they had their own tradition. They worshiped on Mount Gerizim. And yet, brothers and sisters, even in the Old Testament times, when people really are drawn, were drawn into true worship, you'll find they worship in spirit and in truth. They worship at all times, under all kinds of circumstances. It is based upon their knowledge of God. When you see God, you worship. But make no mistake, thinking that worship belongs to the Old Testament. You know, oftentimes when we try to worship, we go back to the Old Testament. As if worship belongs to the Old Testament. As if we do not find worship in the New Testament. How people today, trying to learn worship, they always go back to the Old Testament. But thank God, the hour is coming, the Lord said, and now is. The Father is seeking for true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and truth. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are in a much better position in the matter of worship than the people in the Old Testament times. If the people in the Old Testament times knew how to worship, how much more we in the New Testament times should know how to worship. Why? Because with them the revelation of God was limited. But with us, it is unlimited. They knew God only as God, but we know God as our Father. They only know God transcendent, but we know God immanent. We have a relationship with God our Father that they did not have. So under the New Testament, we ought to worship God much more and much better than the Old Testament saints. We should not in any way behind them. Now go to the New Testament, and you'll find the New Testament is full of worship. When Christ was born, you remember in Matthew, the Magi, the wise men, they saw the star. So they traveled from far. It took them almost 2 years to arrive at Jerusalem. They inquired and said, "Where is the King of the Jews?" We saw his star. They were directed by prophecy and then by the star to that house in Bethlehem. Remember, it is no longer the manger. 2 years have passed. Joseph and Mary, with their firstborn, live in a house there. They enter into the house. They saw the child. They worship him. They did not worship the mother, nor the father. They worship the child. As they worship the child, they offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Brothers and sisters, worship comes through revelation. If there is no revelation, there can be no worship. If the wise men did not see the star, they will not be able to come and worship the child. If we do not have revelation from above to see him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, how can we worship him? Worship is based on revelation. But even when the wise men worshiped the child, they did not worship just with physical postures. They worship with offerings. They offered something worthy to the child. They offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are precious things in the eyes of men. And yet you find these wise men, they offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Lord. Some people say gold speaks of the divine nature of God. Yes, the child is the son that is given. Frankincense speaks of the life of our Lord Jesus on earth, like a sweet savor, odor of frank incense. The incense is so frank, it goes out. That is the life of our Lord. Myrrh speaks of the death of our Lord. It is bitter, and yet it has healing power. And of course, Joseph will need some gold because they have to flee to Egypt and stay there. So here you'll find these wise men came to worship through revelation, and they worship with offerings. Dear brothers and sisters, what is worship? We worship because we know him. But when we worship, do not just worship with empty words. Offer something to him. As we come to worship him, we bring our offerings to him. This is called the sacrifice of praise. Even when we praise him, there is a sacrifice there. In other words, something that we have gone through, something that we have experienced of him, we bring back to him. As a brother read during the time of the breaking of bread, we are being built together a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we worship, we offer. Even when we offer praises, They are not just words. It's a sacrifice. In other words, it costs you something. It costs you something. We offer back to Him that which He has given to us. His divinity. His pure life. His atoning death for us. His resurrection. His glory. His coming. We are offering something to Him. Never come to worship with empty hands. Worship surrounded the birth of our Lord. You know, when our Lord Jesus, on His 8th day, He was presented to the temple, and Simeon came. And this man, Simeon, he took over the baby in his hand and he said, "Now, God, You may release Your servant because my eyes have seen Thy salvation." Dear brothers and sisters, even though the word worship is not used, you know this is worship. What is worship? Worship is treasure the Son. That is worship. To Simeon, his whole life on earth is lived for one purpose, to see the salvation of the Lord. When he sees the Savior, he said, "I'm ready to go. There is no more desire in me." That is worship. Brothers and sisters, do we have such a worshiping spirit? Are we desiring so many things that even when we have Him in our hands, we are not satisfied? Do we really live for Him and for Him alone? That is worship. And of course, Mary, go back to that. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You remember she went to visit Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard her voice, the womb in Elizabeth began to leap with joy. And Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women." And you remember Mary said, "My soul magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And there you find in her words, she worshiped God. Now worship began with her spirit. She said, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And then my soul magnifies the Lord." Now this is important, remember. Worship does not originate from the soul. Worship originates from the Spirit. It is in your spirit you have been revealed of something of Him. And when you see Him in your spirit and you have rejoiced in Him in your spirit, then your soul takes up and magnifies the Lord. Brothers and sisters, how do we magnify the Lord? We magnify the Lord by praises. We magnify the Lord by singing. We magnify the Lord by prayer. But when you magnify the Lord, when you express with your emotion, with your mind, with your will, remember, it has to begin with your spirit. And that is worship. Well, it is true, Mary was the most blessed of women. Favored by God. She was the only one. No one else. And yet, on the other hand, it cost her everything. Her praises were sacrifice of praise. When she magnified the Lord and rejoiced in the Lord, It costs her everything. That's worship. Dear brothers and sisters, if a worship does not cost you something, it is very shallow, very superficial. The more it costs you, the deeper your worship. Why? Because you see more of His worthiness. Come to the life of our Lord Jesus. The whole life of our Lord Jesus is characterized by worship. It comes out in many forms. Look at the prayer life of our Lord. The prayer life of our Lord Jesus is a worship. Why? Because He shows us how He depends upon the Father. How He seeks the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. That is worship. It comes out in the form of praise. In Matthew chapter 11, He labored hard in Capernaum, in Chorazin, in Bethsaida, and yet the people did not receive Him. At the point of disappointment, He turned to God and said, "Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Because you reveal these things to babes, but you hide these things from the wise and the prudent. Father, it is thy good pleasure that it should be so." Dear brothers and sisters, how we want our work to be successful. How we want our labor to be rewarded. But when these things do not happen, we murmur. We say, "Why?" And yet with our Lord Jesus, He thanked God. He said, "God, this is your will. If this is your will, I thank you. I'm happy. I rejoice in it." That's worship. When our Lord Jesus offered His life as a sacrifice on the tree, that is the consummation of worship. You remember in Psalm 40 it is said, "Sacrifice and oblation thou dost not desire, but thou hast prepared me. Sin offering and burnt offerings thou dost not want. Lo, I come to do thy will." It is recorded in the book. "And to do thy will, O God, is my pleasure. For thy law is in my heart." Brothers and sisters, the whole life of our Lord Jesus is worship. His life is worship. His death is worship. Everything about Him is worship. Why? Because His whole life is exalting the Father, honoring the Father, glorifying the Father. That is worship. Our Lord not only sets before us an example of worship, but our Lord teaches us much on worship. You remember when He was tempted in the wilderness? And the tempter came and said, "If you would just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Yes, I'll give them to you." Do you think the devil will give all the kingdoms to you without a string attached? In the first place, the world does not belong to him. He usurped it. In the second place, when he wants to give the world to you, he wants your soul as an exchange. But when he gets your soul, he gets his world back. So you get nothing. You lose your soul. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? But when the tempter tempted our Lord, what did the Lord say? Satan, go away. Because it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God alone, and him shall ye serve. The Lord teaches us very clearly, there is only one who is to be worshipped. That is God, our Father. He is the only one that we must serve. And of course, in John chapter 4, he said, we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And again you'll find the Lord in Matthew chapter 15, he says, to the Pharisees, they worship God with their lips. Their heart is far away from God. It is vain for them to worship. Because they violate the commandment of God and keep the traditions of man as teaching. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord tells us what worship is not. Worship is not lip service. Worship must come from the heart. If the heart is there, then the words will be accepted. If the heart is far away from God, then whatever is said is in vain. It must be in spirit. And worship must be in truth. That is the commandment of God, not the teaching of man. If we worship according to the teaching of men, it is worshiping in vain. But if we worship according to the commandment of God, keeping the commandment of God, that is worshiping in truth. In Luke 17, our Lord Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one returned to give thanks. And the Lord said, did I not heal 10 people? Where are the 9? Only this stranger, a Samaritan, returned to give thanks to God. In other words, our Lord is looking for worship. God is looking for worship. What is worship? Worship is to return and to give thanks. That's worship. Do we ever receive healings, blessings from God, and we just go away? Do we ever return? Worship is to return. Is to return and give thanks to God. That is worship. Oh, in the New Testament you'll find many places where worship is given. For instance, Matthew chapter 8, the leper. The leper came to the Lord and worshiped him and said, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. Why did he worship? Because he believed. He believed that the Lord was not only able, but he was willing. If we believe, we can worship. Then in chapter 9, you'll find the ruler whose daughter was dying. He came and worshiped the Lord and said, my daughter is dying. Come, you can heal him. Again, you'll find worship is based on faith. If you believe, you worship. In chapter 14 of Matthew, you'll find the disciples. The Lord said, let's go over to the other side. They were in the ship. And there was a storm. And the Lord was sleeping at the stern. They woke him up and said, we perish. And the Lord calmed the sea. When they saw this, they worshiped him. Revelation. See, then you worship. Chapter 15 of Matthew. You find a Canaanitish woman. She came to the Lord and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord did not answer her. When the Lord entered into the house, she came forward. And the Lord said, it is not good to give the bread to the dogs. But remember, the dogs here are not wild dogs. The dogs here are pet dogs. So the woman take that lower position and say, yes, I'm but a pet dog. But the pet dog under the table did have the scratches. She worshiped God. She worshiped the Lord because of her faith in God. Well, of course, we can go on and on. But I think we can mention another one, and that is Mary, the sister of Martha. Even though the word worship is not used, but when you read the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, you'll find when our Lord was sitting at the table, Lazarus was sitting by, Martha, as usual, was visiting, preparing the food, and there came Mary. She came with a flask, alabaster flask, of pure nard. She broke the neck. She poured the ointment upon the Lord. And the fragrance filled the house. That's worship. Brothers and sisters, there was no speech. But there was worship. Why? Because to Mary, the Lord was worthy. She saw the worthiness of the Lord. She was willing to give the very best and her very last to the Lord. That's worship. Of course, if you go to the epistles, you find that worship is there. Just take Paul as an illustration, and then I'll conclude. Paul knew how to worship. How do we know? You know, in his writing, sometimes you'll find in the midst of his writing, worship breaks forth. Now, Romans, we say the letter to the Romans is a treatise, that is, a dissertation. Because here you find Paul gives the whole range of the salvation of the Lord. And when you're writing a dissertation, well, it may be a mental exercise. But here you'll find, in the book of Romans, while he is writing that dissertation, he breaks forth into worship time and again. Just for example, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 5.
There he was talking about the privileges of the children of Israel. And in chapter 9, verse 5, he said, whose are the fathers? And of whom, and according to flesh, is the Christ, who is over all. God bless it forever. Amen. Now, that's not a dissertation. That is praise. That is worship. When he think of what God has given to the children of Israel, when he thought of Christ, he could not contain himself. He said, this Christ is God above all. Bless it forever. Amen. The worship just came forth. Verse chapter 11. And when he is telling us about what mercy, what grace, what compassion God has given to us. And finally you find in verse 33, O depths of riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and he shall be rendered to him, and of him, and through him, and for him all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Another worship. It is not just cold discussion, arguments. There is that worshiping spirit in Paul. And of course, the last chapter, verse six, chapter 16, you'll find the same thing. As he concludes, verse 27, the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul does have a spirit of worship. You know, worship is more than just some forms or some expressions at some times, at some places. Worship is a spirit. Why? Because we are worshipers. Now, being worshipers means that this is what you are. You do not just worship once in a while. You do not just worship at certain occasion, at certain place or time. No, to be a worshiper means that is what you are. And how can we be worshipers unless we have the spirit of worship? The spirit of worship is always there. Therefore, you'll find it shall break out at every occasion. There is no limitation. Now, I have to add a little bit more, and that is, the whole book of Revelation is a book of worship. Someone says, God created man as worshipers. And he has been working through the 66 books until he comes to the last book, and you'll find worship is there. God is surrounded with worshipers. They shall see him. They shall worship him. They shall serve him. They shall have his name upon their forehead. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are called to worship. Now, what is worship? It is impossible to define. We only know that worship is the spontaneous response of the created, of the redeemed, to the Creator, to our Redeemer. Worship is because we see Him.
through revelation. Worship is to abase ourselves and to exalt Him. Worship is spiritual in nature. It involves our whole being, not just part of our whole being. Worship is all-inclusive. It is our very life. Worship is service. It is our work. Worship is that which the Father is seeking. And worship is that which we can give. Someone said, when you pray, you ask. When you worship, you give. We ask all the time. But how often do we give? God does not require anything from you. If we say we are to repay what He has given, we do not know what grace is. We can never repay. But there is one thing that God does look for in us, and that is we appreciate Him. All He wants is our appreciation. That we will give back to Him that which He has given to us. In gratitude. In love. Worship is disinterested. If we are interested in ourselves, we cannot worship. We will not worship. But when we become disinterested in ourselves, but interested in Him, we begin to worship. So, dear brothers and sisters, remember, the Father is seeking for worshipers, true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and truth. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee because we do have that cloud of witnesses surrounding us, encouraging us to worship Thee, to adore Thee, and to love Thee. O Lord, we do pray that we may be true worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. Deliver us from ourselves that we may see Thee at all times, in all circumstances. Oh, that we may give Thee worship as we are to. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.